God is a gift-giving God. God is a loving God. God is a God who delights in giving to his people. God is a God who wants to bestow gifts upon his people. God knows our hearts, and God desires to give us gifts. And many times when we think about that, and we think about the things that we're given, that God gives us, we think about those individual things. But I want you to know that this morning, that when we became believers, if you are a believer this morning, God has given you a gift, a spiritual gift. Every single one of us have a spiritual gift that's been given to us by God. If you think just for a moment, a Christmas that you can remember where there were trees, presents under the tree, and you were excited about opening those gifts. Think about it for just a moment. If you were to get up that morning and you saw all of those gifts and all of those gifts were for you, and you decided, you know, I don't want any of these gifts. I don't like these gifts. I don't know that in the history of the world that some seven-year-old would have looked at a gift and said, I don't like gifts, and wouldn't open the present because I don't want you to get me anything. We all love gifts, especially when it comes to Christmas time and things like that. Our God, though, when we became a believer, when we trusted in Jesus Christ, he has given us a gift, a spiritual gift. And I want you to know this, that part of expressing those spiritual gifts make you who you are. And if you're not able to express your spiritual gift, your Christianity is lacking in a way. It's as if you don't feel as fulfilled as you would like. So when you're not expressing or you're not being challenged in your spiritual gifts, there are times when believers think, I just don't sense or feel God anymore. And one of the things that I would kind of question you on or encourage you in is the fact, are you expressing inside of the church, inside of the church body, not just 34th and Quaker, but the church around the world, are you expressing your spiritual gift? And in that, when we talk about spiritual gifts, I want us to know that God gifted us spiritually, and he gifted us spiritually so that we would be united in one body. So what we need to know this morning is that because we are all gifted spiritually in different ways, and not all of us are the exact same spiritual gift, we need each and every one of us to be a part of that unified body so that we can express the spiritual gifts together. And so if you just kind of showed up this morning and you're thinking, I want to make sure that I don't get too involved in the church. I want to make sure that I don't have to do much this morning. I'm not encouraging you to leave, but I am telling you that you're going to struggle a little bit this morning, because I believe that the scripture says that we are all a part of one body. We were all baptized together into that one body if you are a believer. And if you are a believer baptized in that one body, you are now expressing your gift as a part of that body. And so what that essentially means is every single one of you are important. Every single one of you, every single one of us are important. Gifts help us to know who we are. And so maybe you're saying this morning, you know, Adam, I don't really even know my spiritual gift. I would even challenge you after this message this morning, after we speak this morning, if you don't know your spiritual gift, we have spiritual gift assessments that can help you kind of discover that spiritual gift. It's hard to be completely fulfilled in your Christian walk if you're not expressing your spiritual gift. And in that spiritual gift, when we're talking about the unity of the church, I want us not to pass this over, okay? We, this morning, were given each other. I mean, we are, I need to put something else in there, because when I say we are family, a song pops in my mind. And I'm not supposed to sing that, I'm sure. But we are the family of God. And we have been given one another. And those spiritual gifts that we have been given, if we are not exercising those spiritual gifts, we're not fully satisfied. And by the way, when we're exercising those spiritual gifts, it is important to note that by exercising those spiritual gifts, you are serving. That's another kind of misnomer, I think, maybe in the church today. And that is that the church provides me with everything that I need and maybe even everything that I want. And that's not at all what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be the unified body of believers who serve together. We, for lack of being coy here, we complete one another. Jesus Christ put us together and all of our gifts together. We are a body of service. And I think what we'll find this morning in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can start to go there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that every single one of us are needed. But what we'll also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that in this early church, there were people who wanted to be things that they had not been gifted to be. And so maybe you had someone who wanted to be the speaker that wasn't gifted in that way. Or maybe you had somebody who was wanting to prophesy and they had not been given that gift. And so Paul is addressing the early church. The early church at Corinth, number one, we know that they were plagued with divisions. The first chapter of 1 Corinthians shows them being divided among one another. We know that they had never really matured as believers, that they were still babies in Christ from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We know that they tolerated immorality in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that this was also, even though they tolerated immorality, we know that even though they were not mature, we know that they were attempting to be a spiritual congregation. We see that in the realm of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It seems that this was a carnal group, but what we do see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that God had gifted every one of them. And perhaps as a church, they weren't fulfilling or living up to what they could be. And I'm going to ask a very tough question this morning. Are we, and let me just say it this morning as 34th and Quaker, are we living up to what we could or even what we should be? I'm confident in our vision. I'm confident in our purpose that we are to be a multicultural, multi-generational church, a church that helps people connect with others, grow together, and go beyond the walls of the church and serve. It's a pretty simple purpose, a pretty simple vision to help others come to know Christ. It's very simple. Are we fulfilling our obligation? And I'm asking you as believers, when you think about your spiritual gift, are you using that spiritual gift to serve? Because I want you to know this, if you're not using your spiritual gift to serve, not only are you missing something, but our group at 34th and Quaker is missing something. That's going to be difficult for us to kind of grasp this morning. But I'm asking, are we fulfilling, living up to everything that we need to be? Which, by the way, Paul goes on to say later on in 1 Corinthians that this idea of spiritual gifts is not for the super saint. It's not for the sinless. It's actually for every believer. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, every one of us were given a spiritual gift. And it's pretty interesting to note before we read the passage this morning that one of the things that they were kind of divided on was who was going to get the flashy gifts? Who's going to get the cool gifts? I mean, who's going to get to be the eyes or who's going to get to be the mouth? No one wants to be the toe. But let me tell you something. When your toe's hurting, the whole body hurts. This is all a part of being grouped together and knowing that God has given us, every single one of us, God has given us a gift for service and a desire to be with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is going to show us that we are distinct, but we are also together. So let's stand together. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 12, if you don't have your Bible with you, it's no problem. You can read on the screen behind me, and then we'll try to apply God's word to our life. It says this, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Let me stop right here. I know it's a long passage, but I have to make sure that I say this. I'm pretty certain that most of us think that Paul just said, we are all one as long as we're Baptist. That's not what it says at all. We are all one just as long as everything is done like we want it done. That's not what it says at all. In fact, we are privileged to be able to be in this body here, but we are a part of something even much bigger than 34th and Quaker. Going on.
So the body, verse 14, is not one part but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving great honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. God, we pray that you would help us apply your word. Help us to understand your design for us as a body of believers. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So what we see even in the verse 12, the first part of chapter 12, we see that though we are many parts, we are all one body. And so my mind, and trying to simplify that, tells me that every part, all of us are related. We're all related. Now, sometimes we play that up quite a bit. We say, hey, sister such and such, and hey, brother such and such. But let me tell you that the scripture is clear that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if you know Jesus, whether you are 9 or 90, you are now brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all one body. We are all one church. We are united in the body of Christ. We are related to one another. When I think about relationship and I think about brothers and sisters, the scripture goes on to tell us in verse 27 that we are all make this all together. And when verse 26, when one part of us hurts, we all hurt. I just remember it like this. When my sister came home in the 6th grade, she came home, and when she was walking home, there were some guys who stopped her and made fun of her. And when she got home, she was hurt. And so my brother and I, who were in 11th grade at that time, said, well, if she's hurt, we are hurt, and if we are hurt, they will hurt. So we went out looking for those guys. Now, I am not at all saying that we as a church should be violent at all. Obviously, 11th grade, I don't have my full logical head yet. At 40 or 41, I'm not sure that I have all logic yet, but I just know this, because my sister hurt, I hurt. Folks, in the church, it really should be the same way. If one of us are hurting, we should all hurt. If one of us struggles, we share that struggle together. If we have joys, those joys are shared together. We are united in the body of Christ. In verse 12, it says that we are all one body. That we are all together one body. And that God gifts us in different ways so that we can complement one another. The same thing is true about my brother and I. My brother and I, who most of you know that I have an identical twin, we spent all of our school years together. We have the same degrees. We have the same profession. He's a pastor as well. He preaches a little less better than me, probably a little bit better in grammar than I am. But we are not the same. We're not the same. And so I would say that to even us as a church. You may have actually identified the same spiritual gift as someone else, but it is still not the same. And every spiritual gift in this place needs to be used for us to be the body that God wants us to be. And what is that spiritual gift used for? So that you can brag about it? Hey, I got prophecy. I'm one of the biggies. No, not at all. Those spiritual gifts are used so that you can serve. The greatest among us serves. Jesus Christ said that he gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life so that he could serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve And so with that example, and we heard this even this past week in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, that follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The example of Christ is to serve, and so we are all to serve. Being a part of the body, I think we need to be mindful of the fact that being a part of the body is very personal. It's very personal. And what I mean by that is this. First, to be a part of the body, every one of us, and you've heard me say this at least three times this morning already, that if you're going to be a part of the body, that means that you are a part of the body as you have given your life to Jesus Christ, as you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's the most important part of being identified as part of the body. Some of you may be sitting there this morning saying, I don't feel like I'm a part of the body. And then you just heard, oh, to be a part of the body, you have to give your faith. You have to put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. This morning, I'm telling you, it's the perfect time to do it. Because as being a part of the body and being a part of even the body and expressed in 34th and Quaker is the fact that the people who are in this place welcome different parts of the body. We encourage that. But that personal decision should not be taken lightly. Just think with me for a second, the fact that in today's age, when we commit to something, we give our full effort to it. I know in the Pardue household, if our girls commit to something, whether it have been choir or whether it have been soccer, and let's say it's Tuesday night and we've had a long day, and one of the girls, I won't tell you which one, one of them says, I don't want to go to practice. Their mother and I very encouragingly say, we don't care. You have to go. And that's true. You can talk to the girls because we believe in our household, if you've committed to something, you've got to be there. It seems like in every organization in the world, if you're a part of that organization, you give your full effort to it. Why is it that the church that has been gifted to be an organism isn't the same? See, we are a part of the body of Christ. It's a very personal, endeavor that becomes very corporate because your job, your personal job, is to be a part of a larger unit. Not only is it personal, but it's permanent. We see in the scripture that once we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are a part of the family. And once you're part of the family, you don't get out of that family. The verb phrase here that we were all baptized in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we were all baptized. I know you don't care about this, but in the Greek, it uses the aorist tense, which means that something happened in the past that began a moment that would affect your future. It's a moment. It's a time. It's a place where that something took place that changes everything else. And I would say when we look at our salvation, it's something, a place, a moment in time that affects everything else that we do. And so I would encourage you to think through, have I given my life to Jesus? And has that affected everything that I have done from this point on? Notice that Paul, the missionary, he says, the eye cannot say to the ear that because it is not an eye, it does not belong to the body. There are times where we say, I don't get to do this and I don't get to do this, so I don't really feel like I'm a part of the body. Every part is needed. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. A couple of thoughts here. To write something, do I need the pen or do I need the paper? You need them both. Some of you are very good at this. You're like, well, you could write on the wall or something. Awesome. Just don't be so logical. Just think through this with me. This sounds funny coming out, but it's serious. The shirt or the pants? Really kind of need them both, especially for church. The guitar or the strings? Can you imagine? You got here on Sunday morning, Charlie gets up and he's getting ready to play. I mean, he's fixing to do the first big chord, you know, and he's going to do his leg like this and he's going to go on, one, two, and no strings. It's not going to sound quite the same. He'll probably start hitting on the neck a little bit. The lights or the sound? Really, both pretty important. We could do without either one. If we had no sound, we had no lights. But really, they're both pretty important. I had a car breakdown this past week, and none of these parts broke down, but it made me think about this. In your car, do you need the alternator, the battery, or the starter? If you could just pick one. I don't know what Joel's saying, but I think you have to have all of those to. They're all necessary parts, but they're not the same part. Folks, we are all necessary parts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 18 says again, but now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he wanted. Here's what's important. Not only are we a part of the body, but God has placed us individually. He's placed us personally. He's given us a permanent place. And I'm asking you, do you fulfill that place? Are you expressing your spiritual gift? Do you know that God is using you? Now again, just to kind of rewind here, I remind you, if you're not feeling fulfilled in your walk with the Lord, there are a few places to look. Number one, have you spent any time with the Lord? Spent any time in his word? Spent any time praying? And then I would say maybe even next would be, are you spending any time fulfilling the spiritual gift that God has given you? Some of you say, well, again, I don't really know my spiritual gift, or how can I find a place to exercise my spiritual gift? I think the first place that we kind of start trying to do that is wherever you're asked, try that out. And if you hate it, guess what? It's probably not your spiritual gift. Because I believe that when we're expressing our spiritual gifts, we feel fulfilled in the church. And so some of us may have thought, well, you know, I really want to help work in the preschool area. I feel like my spiritual gift is with children. And I know that Julie's saying, yes, preach right now, Adam. Come on, do it right now. And 40 volunteers right now, stand up. No, I'm not, just kidding. Don't do that. But what happens if you get over to that place and you're like, gosh, I really thought this would be awesome, but I hate children now. Probably not your spiritual gift. We can help you find your place. And God has gifted us, each one of us, individually so that we might be part of the corporate body. And every single one of those gifts are needed. So, secondly, every part is needed. Every part of the body is needed. It is related, and every part is needed. Second, the first thing I want you to think about when we think about every part is needed is that we must trust one another. Here's something that I think has happened in our world that is really a hard thing to kind of digest. We actually go in thinking that there are ulterior motives for everything we encounter. Sometimes we even approach people in new friendships and new relationships, and we walk away from those new friendships or relationships thinking, I wonder what they're saying about me. Can I just, for a moment, just declare that 34th and Quaker is a safe place? And if you've got something negative to say about somebody, go do it somewhere else. I mean, honestly, do it somewhere else. We don't have time for that. That sounds super negative. I think I'm getting on the front side of this. I'm not responding to anybody or anything that I've heard. But nothing tears down a group of believers quicker than when we start talking negatively about one another. There is a trust factor that has to be built up. And as we build up that trust factor, we know that we can be vulnerable with one another. And when we are vulnerable with one another, what we find is God can work in those situations. And so, again, if there's a need to be negative towards someone just because you don't like their personality or you didn't like the way they dressed or there's personality conflict, do that somewhere else. I believe God's church is a place that should be safe. Not only do I believe that, the scripture teaches that this is a place that we're to be an encouragement to one another, that we're to be brothers and sisters. We must be able to trust one another. It's not just the high-profile positions that we need to be encouraging about. We need to be encouraging about every single position, because if it pleases the Lord, then it should please us. And that's another issue right now, because we, as the people of God, sometimes we're fairly self-centered and we think, if I'm not pleased, then nobody's pleased. And that's not necessarily true. In fact, pleasing the Lord, pleasing God should be the first thing on our mind when we get here on Sunday morning. How can I be an offering, a fragrant offering to the Lord? How can I be an encouragement to the body? I've said this before. What would happen if we all came? I know this is idealistic, but just run with me for a second. What if we all came prayed up? And when we got here, we weren't necessarily only worried about our individual problems, but we were concerned about the body as a whole. And we were encouraging the body as a whole. That's the true identity of the body. Being an encouragement to one another and understanding that we not only trust one another, but we're also serving one another. Every single one of us fulfills a role. I hope you're hearing that. Every single one of us fulfills a role. Every single one of us in expressing our gifts are called to serve. And again, we're over halfway through now, but I want you to hear it again. You were never called, listen to me, you were never called just to do an hour of church in your rows, in your pew. That was never, I don't believe ever has God said, well, if they'll just give me that hour in church, I'll be good. I'll fulfill them. That's going to be completely good enough. And again, some of you might be thinking, yes, that's right. Well, you got to come Sunday night, and you got to come Wednesday night, and you got to go to Thursday prayer. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, what I'm saying is actually less than that. What I'm saying is you come here to encourage one another, but when we walk out the doors of the church, we are still carrying the name of Jesus. We are speaking the name of Jesus. And so it's our job, our opportunity, our obligation, our privilege to share the name of Jesus. So we serve one another. Again, I don't know anyone who has been given a gift or shouldn't have been given a gift where they wouldn't open it. They wouldn't see what it was. Every part of the body is related. Every part of the body is purposed. And finally, every part of the body is purposed. We've each been given a purpose. We've each been given a purpose. And we must, first and foremost, practice unity. So, we shouldn't be expressing any type of jealousy or disdain or discouragement when somebody else has the gift for something that you thought you might like, or that you thought was pretty flashy and would get you some attention, that you thought you really liked. God has gifted us each individually. In our day, there are too many hands that want to be feet. There are too many ears that want to be mouths. That's probably the best one. Too many ears that want to be a mouth. We need to be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger. Jonah 4:2 says, our God is a God who's slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents in sending calamity. If just that was our example this morning, if we were slow to speak, that we would listen, that we would be encouraging, and that we would be slow to be discouraging to other people, on Sunday morning, that would help tremendously, right? But not just on Sunday morning. When we go out beyond the walls of the church, we would be able to example Jesus Christ. So, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, when it starts talking about divisions, this is just before we get to our verses, it uses the word division, and this division, this word division, is really kind of a butcher's term. It causes divisions among you in an area where it's almost, when we're trying to kind of translate that, it doesn't translate as cleanly, but that word division is, some people are causing things to be cut up from you. Some people are causing the parts of the body to be separated from the other parts of the body. So in essence, when what it's talking about, the idea here is when we are bringing up divisions in the body and we're aiding divisions of the body, where it's as if we're being butchers to the Lamb of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty serious to me. And I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a body that aids and helps and encourages and points to Jesus. And every single one of us should be doing that. When I was thinking about this is super weird, I know. But if you're asleep right now, you're definitely going to wake up. And if you wake up in the middle of this, it's going to be incredibly weird. But imagine if you woke up this morning and each part of your body had changed, just to different parts. That your foot became your hand, and your eyes became your knuckles. And yeah, I know that's weird. And I'm sorry that sometimes my mind is weird. But our body would not work appropriately like that. And that's really what Paul's trying to get across here. That everyone, every single part is important. We must practice unity and we must practice mutuality. Here's the thing, we're not all going to get our way. I think believers, in some ways we should already have perfected that. But in the American church, we not only have not perfected that, but we kind of push, if you will, sometimes even our own agenda. And that is this: when I got to church, was I happy? When I was through with church, was I happy? I like it when they sing two hymns, two choruses, and that preacher doesn't go over 25 minutes. You're not happy today. It's not about your individual happiness. Paul is saying here that it's a part of the group, the body as a whole. When he talks about the eye and he talks about the hand, what he's really addressing here, let me just give you one last thought here. What he's really addressing is that every part not only is mutually beneficial for one another, but every part is absolutely necessary. So some of you might say, well, I'm just the finger, and I'm just the toe, and I don't like being that. It's not a cool part, but it does affect the entire body. You ever slammed your hand in a drawer? Or have you ever been closing your car door and caught a finger? Now, it may just be me, and maybe I'm a wimp. I probably am, but I did that before, and I caught this little part of my pinky on that door. And for some reason, my toes hurt after I'd done that. My whole body seemed like it was in some kind of shock. It affected, and it's just this little part, but there are nerves everywhere. And it felt like my whole, what did I do? I'm sorry, little. I went down to the ground in pain. It affects, we affect every individual part, affects every part of the body. Romans chapter 12, I think, gives us kind of a great thought. It says, what are we supposed to do as part of the body? We are to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. When we are encouraged together, we do that together. Everyone's encouraged. When we are discouraged, everyone should share some of that discouragement. You may not possess the giftedness or the spiritual gift that others possess, and you may have wanted other spiritual gifts, but let me assure you, let me assure you of this. If your spiritual gift was not apostleship or proclamation, but you wanted to be the pastor, let me assure you that you might be the pastor for a week and a half and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't like it. Maybe your spiritual gift is the spiritual gift of cooking fried chicken. I think that's a spiritual gift, by the way. It's in the Baptist church. And someone asked you to teach and that wasn't your spiritual gift. Even though you wanted to be that teacher, you want it, but that's not your spiritual gift, you'd be miserable. But I want us to end on this thought. When you do start practicing that spiritual gift in a manner where you have been placed so that your spiritual gifts can be encouraged and used, that's when the entire body benefits from you using your spiritual gift. And by the way, using that spiritual gift should benefit the entire body. It should benefit us all. Can I just say to you this morning that God wants us all to be equally part of the vision of God. We're all different parts, but we are all equal parts. And I would encourage you, if you've never even heard the thought of spiritual giftedness, call the office. We'd love to send you a spiritual gifts assessment. We did that a couple of years ago. We have on file. Maybe some of you, we already have yours on file and you forgot what it is, and we can probably give it to you, what that spiritual gift is. But I believe that this fall, as we continue with one another, that we are going to exercise those spiritual gifts together. And I believe that God's going to show us something, and he's going to share with us not just who we could be, but who we should be and who we will be. Father, I pray this morning, as we come to this time of reflection, response, God, that you would help us understand how we need to respond. I believe that there are a couple of ways to respond this morning, God. Maybe first and foremost, if we have never received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, I pray that that would be done today. God, how do we do that? We admit that we've done wrong. We believe that you are the Son of God, and we confess this morning, even with our mouth, that we want to live for you. God, I'd love to be able to share with someone how to do that this morning. But God, maybe there are some people here this morning who think, I've been in the church my whole life and I've never really felt fulfilled. I've never really felt like I've done what I should be doing. And God, I pray that this morning this altar would be filled with people who want to know from you, who want to express their gifts this morning and try to find that place. I pray that we would all feel fulfilled in expressing our spiritual gifts. God, this morning, if there be people here who want to join this church, who want to be a part of that body, what a better time to do that than after we've talked about how we want every single part of the body to be engaged. So God, this morning, this time of reflection, response, even as people come forward to publicly respond, God, we pray that this time of the service would be in your hands. I pray that we would worship in our response. Amen. Just stand together. I'm asking this morning.